Hello, hello. Welcome, friends, to the End Evil podcast. Evil is the destruction of freedom. Glad to see you here. Got a live show today. I'm pretty excited to present. I got my guest in the studio here. I'm about to bring him in. But I thought I'm going to give him a chance to do check settings and stuff. And since today's show is about change, I have a cool little reading I'd like to do for you. This is my book that I recently put out, the book that changed my life. And I have a chapter in here, and it's called Becoming Change. And I'm going to read that to you real quick, and then I'll bring Brandon Smith in. Brandon Bonanza, if you want to check out his YouTube channel. Becoming Change. There are two things we can count on in this life. No matter what you believe, death and change. Everything else, variable. But these two, solid, ironclad. And here's the kicker. Death is change. It's a pattern rearranged, a transition. You don't have to know exactly where consciousness goes after the lights go out to understand that change is baked into the system. It's the rule, not the exception. Problem is, modern life's got us all twisted. Our systems, conveniences, belief traps, they teach us to resist change, to treat it like an enemy. That's not just ignorance. That's programming, cultural hypnosis, a slow motion cult initiation that most never question. But you picked up this book, or you're listening to this podcast. You're here, and that means you're ready to see the wave coming. And not run from it, but ride it. Change isn't the threat. Change is the way. Anyway, there's a little more to that chapter, but I encourage you to go to endevil.life and order the book that changed my life. And you'll get some cool stickers too. End Evil podcast stickers. And we also have the book, The End of All Evil. That was the inspiration for this show by Jeremy Locke, the book, The End of All Evil. So I'm going to go ahead and bring in my man, Brandon, and see if I can get him on screen here with me. And let's see here. Maximize. I'm on the wrong setup here. How do I get him in? Nope. Restream. What do you got going here? Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Seems like there's a new little trick every time I get on Restream. It's got some funky thing going. Brandon, I don't got your audio yet. Can you hear me? Remove. There we go. Just the two of us. Just how
can you hear me?
There he is. How you doing, my man?
All right. Sup? How's it going?
Good. You know, I was just checking out your last show. If people want to check out Brandon, you got some cool stuff for people to check out. He's got a book named Shadow Worked. And if you scroll back on endevil.life, we talked about that. I don't know. It's been a year or two. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
But what's your website? Is it Shadow Work?
So there's a couple websites. But if you go to for the book, it's specifically Shadow Worked. So work and then ED, like workedit.com. And then there's always the infamous morelawsmoreproblems.com that I've had since 2013. And I've even mentioned that show on that website on Passio's show when I've called in a bunch of times. So people have heard that name before. More laws, more problems. He laughed when he heard it. You guys can laugh. I've been talking about things for 12 years now, really, about this kind of stuff. And all it didn't start out that way, but it did start out that I was pissed off about new laws. And now it's just, yeah, it's become, it's in, I guess I could say too, you know, it's so, yeah. But thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I always love chatting with you specifically and anybody that's like-minded into this kind of stuff. And you know, I don't always have to agree with everybody on every little point, but if you're into freedom, then I could talk to you. I'm just talking to other
people. Well, that's the essence of freedom, right? Is being able to have our choice to think the way we want to think and talk the way we want to speak and you know, encourage other people to do the same. And I think that's a big part of the legacy that we leave is what do we say? What do we do with our time? Do we create more laws and more problems, or do we move towards more solutions and roll with the changes as they come? And this has been a time of many changes. So I thought maybe you might want to talk about some of the big changes. I know you've had some big things going on in your life recently. Be nice to catch up.
Yeah, definitely. Well, there's a few changes I can really on this channel because I try not to talk to about it too much. But I recently found out on Mother's Day, and I was 48, and I turned 49 since then in July. And I kind of lost my voice because I went to the Pantera concert Sunday. So that's recent history for you guys. But but anyway, I found out that my dad isn't my dad, the guy who I thought my whole life was my dad. Yeah. So, you know, it was a very pivotal moment. And I'll say that I didn't take it the way that most people think that people will take it. Like, I was actually very relieved. I mean, I love the guy who raised me and everything. I still call him dad. It's great. But I just, for my own mental processes and like life things that have happened, I'm just like, oh, this makes much more sense. And I had this, I guess, all this unconscious guilt I didn't even know about. And it just kind of disappeared. So I had that happen. And then about a month and a few weeks after that, I got married.
Congratulations.
So, yeah. So I am a married man now, and that's been amazing. There's been all kinds of like new, I guess I could say, spiritual awakenings. My book is kind of about that. It's when you have like a major awakening. It's, you know, you're going along and you think, you know, like I just say it this way, you think we went, everything's like kosher, you know, oh, it's great, the government, you know, they, I'm patriotic, you know, and then one day something happens, you see something and you're like, wait a minute, this isn't what I thought it was, right? And then you have that awakening. So that's kind of what my book is about. But then I found that as you go and you work on yourself or self-healing or whatever you call it, you have these awakenings all the time, these certain ones. And I had kind of one, I guess, with that. And I realized I was doing a lot of people-pleasing. And, you know, subsequently, I've kind of ended a lot of that. I'm still a nice guy, but I just realized what I was doing and why. You know, I kind of feel like I felt like I was trying to make myself better for other people because subconsciously I didn't realize it. I thought they didn't accept me for who I was. So I was trying to be nice or whatever. And a lot of that's changed in my life. And let me tell you, it's been a lot better. And my relationship with my wife has just gotten nothing but better too. She's into this self-work stuff. So it's really great when you have somebody that you're with, because it's like there's a mirror, you know, every time something happens, when it's just you, it's easier to kind of just blame other people. But when you're with that other person, you want to blame them automatically, right? You're like, oh, and then, but then if you stop and think, you're like, wait, maybe it was my fault. Maybe I am a jerk, you know, and all that kind of stuff has been helping a lot. And, you know, we both kind of been going through those things. You know, I'm trying to think what else. I've been working a lot more on my show. I had another show called The Oversharing Show that I did for 4 years, and that just came to an end right around the same time. We're still friends and everything. We're going at it for too long, and we wanted to go in different directions. You know how it is. But it's cool because I had planned to amp up my show, and that's why I reached out to you, because I wanted to do my appearances more. And I had started doing that, and then we decided. So it kind of coincided, I guess, with that perfectly. So Brandon Bonanza on YouTube, everybody, if you want to check it out, I do, you know, live streams by myself. I also have guests on. I'm a comedian. A little bit about myself, though, to catch people up to speed. I was in the Marine Corps active duty from 18 to 22 years old, and that was in the creative year of 1994 to 98. I was on a carrier, went all around like the Mediterranean, the Middle East for a little bit, mostly in the Med at that time. And then a year later, I was in Italy for 6 months. You know, then I got out of the Marines. And I was just kind of into things. But I woke up to a lot of truth early, I'll say that. Like around before Obama was elected, I already knew most of it. I won't say that I'm like, I know everything. But I was kind of like, wait a minute. You know, by then, I realized that 7-Eleven isn't exactly just a part-time job. Or, you know, you guys get it. So that's when I figured all that stuff. But it's just been a fun ride since then. But I did stand-up comedy from 2013 to about 2020. And I don't know what happened in 2020, but it's crazy. don't know if you guys remember 5 years ago. It was nuts. So that's kind of when I slowed down. But I've been on and off, and I've been working on so much with that. But the podcast helps as an outlet also, and I could do comedy or whatever. Because just so people know, my thing is, you know, I'm into a lot of this stuff, but I also try to like to make it funny. Because I really feel like comedy, in my estimation, is the best weapon. Because if you could get somebody to laugh, you could get them to start to change their mind. You know, that's how I feel about it anyway. And all this arguing, you're never really going to change anyone's mind. Man, we talked about this on the Sharon show. Where it's like, if you want the only, we try to figure out how to, like, maybe if you give them a near-death experience, it's the only way. So we're like, we're going to start a company, right? Where it's like that movie, The Game, with Michael Douglas. Like, we do that to people where they think,
yeah, I was die. Thinking about that. Like, you get all your family and friends, and everybody's in on this big joke, right? Where you put someone through the Matrix, basically, and make them die, you know? And then you're like, yeah. I was thinking about that movie, too, the Marvel movie with the guy who can manipulate time. And he meets with that bald gal in the yellow costume, and she just, like, blasts him with this, like, spiritual punch and knocks him out of his physical existence. And then he's just like, oh, my gosh. But, you know, that's a good – I want to send a shout-out to the folks at Sound Path for Freedom. Some of our awesome friends are putting together this huge event for Labor Day. And that's kind of the approach there, and it kind of came out of the Funnel Conference where I was just listening to this cool interview with my friend Conrad Rogas, and he does rap. And that's what they're trying to do, is talk about natural law through music. And we're like, maybe that's the way, because all this other stuff, you know, we reach certain people. Some of us have awakened, but it just seems like the large extent of people, you're, you know, just hitting a brick wall. And it's like, I think we have to get in through creativity. And then comedy, like my good friend David Rodriguez has been doing comedy and using that as a means to infuse truth and freedom and natural law. And so that's real exciting. He's going to be part of that Sound Path to Freedom event as well. And so I totally am jiving with what you're saying. And man, you've cheered me up. I remember one of the times you came on, I was kind of feeling in that real blackmailed mode, and you just came on with your Dude, comedy and
that's my mission in life. That. Yeah. Oh, when I talked to you last time, you're saying?
I don't know. It was the time before, one of those times I have a good memory of a, you know,
oh, okay.
You cheered
I'm sorry.
Me up. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I've looked into this spirituality stuff. I mean, even when I was younger, I went to the Catholic school and I was an altar boy. And it's funny because I found out later that my uncle had passed away, rest his soul. He's actually just a good friend of the family. I had already known that, but we called him uncle. But I found out later, he was in the Marine Corps, but I found out later that he was gay, which, you know, whatever, I don't care. But the joke is my gay uncle would take me to be an altar boy, and I never got molested by the... I was like, what, am I not good enough? No. But so I had a good experience. I went to Catholic school. I mean, you know, as good as any school can be. Guys, I get it. Listen, I plan on having children, and I do not want to put them in a school. So I get all that. But, you know, going to, and I had a pretty good experience because it was a small Catholic school and whatever. And then my mom was like a born-again Christian for a while, so I got into that. But for me, I just kept going further. And there's nothing like I love Christians and Christianity and Christ. Like I kind of adopt my spirituality for whoever I'm talking to. That's kind of how I believe it, because I feel like, you know, there's this saying, there's many paths up the mountain, right? But we're all going up the same mountain path, kind of. So I feel like everybody has their own connection and their own way to see it. And that's what I like to do. I like to connect with people with common ground, because I feel like everybody, especially these days, people just want everybody to fight and argue, and that's when they win, right? So anyway, my idea, I was going on this path and I kept going. Then I found out about astrotheology, you know, where it's all written in the sky. And then for a while I was like kind of like an atheist. I didn't believe anything. Then I just kept going, asking my questions. And now I'm at a point where I just feel like I can't explain to anybody what it is, but I know there's more than meets the physical eye, you know. And I feel like you can look at events in the world from a physical point of view and be like, man, this sucks, this is terrible. And I get what people get into despair. But then on a physical level, if you're looking at it as like, oh, well, this isn't just all there is. There's more. If we die, other things happen, kind of whatever it is. You can look at it from that lens as like as a god and say, well, maybe this is happening so that can happen and this can happen. And there's some like 65D chess going on. You know, it's just a mystery and I can't explain it. But this way, I don't feel like a victim. And that's kind of how I try to approach everything, because I really feel like even if you're onto this, there's still a trap. You could wake up and you're still in a trap. You don't realize it. Really, it's all about blind spots, but it's because you're in despair, anger, and your energy, or your attention, which I feel like your attention, and by the way, you could stop me at any time. I left a ramble, but I feel like our attention is our most important thing that we have in this
currency
realm, right?
Yeah.
And if we're giving it to them, even if it's just hate, they're like a conduit. So like that guy, Gil Bates, I always say that. Right, we hate Gil Bates, we hate him, but if you hate him so much, then he's a conduit for all your attention, and then he's out there, and they're just doing, or whoever it is, right? I'll just say that your attention isn't creating your own reality. You're creating a reality for somebody else, and, you know, again, I don't judge people, but I realized when I started to not do that, and again, I'm not like this perfect person who has it all figured out, and I'm like, I'm here to tell you what to do. I'm just sharing my experience with people, just so you guys know, I'm not like this. You know, like, oh, I got it. Just because I look like I died for your sins. That's another joke I have.
That's the magic, though, because each of us have a very, like, unique character and personality. And when we express that, then other people say, oh, that's real. You know, that person's expressing their actual experience. Man, you and I have so many coincidences. We're almost the exact same age. I'm turning 50 this year. And I think back to
when's your birthday?
These, October 28th. I'm a Scorpio. In fact, I want to have a big party and invite people. I've got to make a flyer about that. Man, yeah.
I'm not a Scorpio, but I love my Scorpios. My wife is a Scorpio rising, so yes, we love her. Yeah. That's amazing, dude. Keep talking. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's good. But yeah, you know, we go through these Matrix awakening experiences. I remember when Obama got elected, and, you know, around that time was when I started really questioning things not long after that. And speaking of change, you know, he was like, be the change, you know, like, and it's like every time you reawaken, you kind of like, I think about it almost like how video games, where you get better at a video game, what happens? You get to the next level, and the next level's harder, you know, now you're on Mario Brothers, like level 2, and there's fireballs coming at you, you know, and you get past that level, and now it's even harder, you know, and so the same is true of our spiritual journey. And sometimes you get kicked back a level or two and you have to rediscover something you thought you understood. There's no end to this journey, and the self-work is ongoing. There's no like, oh, I'm the spiritual master, I got it. You know, it's not like that. It's like you rise to the challenge, like self-defense or exercise. You got to work through the hard stuff. And I've often wondered if before this life, I almost have this memory I like to entertain that I decided to come here and face this difficult challenge. And I was even kind of warned and told, like, are you sure you want to do this? Because it's going to be pain. It's going to be suffering. There's going to be some bad stuff going down there. And I was like, no, I'm down. I want this roller coaster. I want to learn. And how do you learn or grow without going through struggle, pain, sacrifice? Those are the things that give us, you know, the joy later to overcome them. So, curious, you know, like you came from the military. I don't know what some of your life big struggles have been, but I'd like to hear a little bit about some of your metamorphoses, things that have turned you around, you know, or times. You got any stories? I'd love to hear.
Yeah, for sure. I just want to really quickly add to what you're saying, because I love what you're saying. And to add to that, you know, I think the biggest false, people say that like Satanism is the biggest false religion or whatever. I think the biggest false religion, and this is totally connected to Satanism, you could probably say it is or whatever, but it's really just materialism. And when I say material, like, it's such a religion that people don't know about. The word materialism has a different meaning in the dictionary than what I'm talking about. What I mean materialism is that, you know, this phone, this black mirror, right? Is it really a phone? Or when you zoom in with a microscope, electron microscope, is it just dancing around? Is it just energy, right? So that's what I'm talking about. We're all just energy. What the heck does that even mean? I don't know. That's not what the show's about. But what I mean, when you start to really realize that, and then you're like, wow, everything is based on materialism, on the fear of death. Wow. Anyway, so what I try to tell people is I feel like, you know, I don't know what, I don't think this is like a simulation. You know, I think it's more like a spiritual realm, which is something, it's kind of like a simulation, I guess. But again, and this, I can't prove this. I just like to have fun conversations. Like, I don't debate people, but this is just where I've come to. Anyway, I feel like it's kind of like the Truman Show in a way, right? But I feel like there's spirits or entities or people or whoever on the outside that can see us, and they know, and they're fucking cheering for us. They're like, I'm sorry, you probably swear, right?
Yeah, you're all good, man. Like, freedom. Like, Chris, we have freedom here.
They're like, free, yeah, free. Yeah,
bring
they're
it.
Like, Chris is killing it right now. Look at him. He could be doing whatever he wants. And that's why I tell people, I'm like, you don't understand. People like me, we're geniuses. We could do whatever we want, but we would just be going crazy in that role. Like, we'd be a CEO somewhere. We'd be like, ah, I know. But anyway,
stress headaches. I've been there. That was part of my experience, actually. I was getting stress headaches. I feel like if you start realizing a certain amount of things and you keep it bottled up, it will screw you up. You have to find a way to turn it into something that you express or create. Otherwise, you will drive yourself nuts. Anyway, I hope I didn't ruin your train of thought. But
No. Many have tried. No, I'm just kidding. To ruin my train of thought. No. You're exactly right, though, because it's the trivium. It's that output process that's so important. And you know what else it does? It helps you not to argue with people on Thanksgiving about the moon. I'm like, but it's made out of cheese, Uncle Joe. Okay. Anyway, so I always tell people, like, just check out my podcast, you know, if you. But well, what I was saying was so about materialism, kind of, and I think there's whatever you want to call it. And I kind of look at it, there's people, and they're cheering us on because so many other people are not doing this type of thing. And I'm not trying to be like, I'm better than them. But what I mean is like spirituality and working on yourself and conscious of your brothers and sisters who are out there in their lives and their struggles, and you're not putting yourself first. You know, there's in the beginning, I know it's like a long struggle a lot for people, and it seems like it's never going to go anywhere, and everyone else is just partying, right? And they're having such a good time, and you're like, man, right? You're like, God, why do I got to know all these things? But I feel like for me anyway, when I started to focus on what I was grateful for and not feel like a victim, that's when it really got supercharged. And in every moment, I try to just kind of look for that stuff. And that's why I try to tell people, like, there's people out there cheering, literally, like, on the outside of the Truman Show. Guys, watch that movie if you haven't. I'm sure most of you have. But they're, like, at a bar somewhere going, man, that guy Chris or Joe or Ralph or Susie or whoever's watching this, they're killing it right now in their life. And I know you might feel lonely or whatever it is, because this kind of stuff is. I was very fortunate, man. People, and this could segue into some stories, but the people I grew up with, man, it's like I grew up in Connecticut, and I don't know if it's because we were close to New York City, but not exactly New York or what, just this proximity. But a lot of people I grew up had a lot of common sense and don't fall for things. You know what I mean? So for me, like in 2020, when I started to make my little stances, I wasn't the only one. Like, my family was pretty much like, yeah, they were like, wow, you were right this whole time. So for me and I have two younger brothers. So for me, it was more of like a validation kind of thing. But again, there's just people around here, they just don't deal with it. But I mean, although in this area, it doesn't mean everyone's that way, because there were a lot of people covering their smiling faces. And from what I hear, this is one of the worst areas. Like, everybody was doing it, and I did not comply. And like I said, I'm 6'5". I sound like this. I look like this. You know, I was a comedian, so I have some really fun interactions.
Stood out a little bit.
Right? That's another, if you want to hear some of those stories. But I've always, I could tell you some from the Marines, too. One cool story that kind of, in a way, woke me up. There's two things that I remember having, and one of them was when I was on an aircraft carrier. It was in 1995. I can't say too much. And we were in the Mediterranean, and it's about the time there's stuff going on with like Bosnia and in the Balkans and all that. And the United States was getting involved. So every day when we were there, I worked on aircraft. I worked on ejection seats on EA-6B Prowlers. And usually it's all Navy aircraft, but since the Marines are part of the Navy, sometimes they would request us, and that's what they did. And I didn't know that. I joined the Marines so I wouldn't have to go on a carrier. I'm so silly. I didn't look into things that much. But anyway, so I ended up on a carrier. It was a lot of fun. But one day, you know, I worked up on the flight deck, and the planes would take off. Our planes didn't have bombs. They jammed radar. But the bombers, the F-18s and the F, I think they were using F-14s too. It was so silly. Anyway, they were taking off and landing with bombs. And one day they just came back without bombs. Like, there was just wires hanging. And I was like, whoa, it kind of hit me. And then they played this, the bombs had cameras. And so they were playing the cameras. And it was usually just like a building you see. And then it just like goes to like, you know, you see it on CNN, that kind of stuff. You would see during the Gulf War, kind of that stuff. And one of them, though, they showed, and they only showed it once, and it started going to like a guard tower, and there's a person in there. And then it disappeared, and everyone was like, whoa. And after that, they were like, all right, no more of this. So that was a moment. Human that was element. Like,
yeah.
You know, because I wasn't, you know, you're
one thing when it looks like a video game. It's another thing when you see the pupils of someone's eyes, right?
Yeah. And I joined the Marines. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, you joined the military. It's great. And you think about it, but when you're until you're really there, because I wasn't going to be a grunt or anything, I never thought I'd have to deal with stuff like that. So that was kind of crazy. But again, I was like 19, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, whatever. And I don't think about these things till later. And that's one that really, especially when the bombs or when the planes came back without the bombs, that's one that was like, wow. And then later on the carrier, I remember I worked in the chow hall because I was new. So they would take the newer guys for like a month. And some working with the Navy. I had like a Navy chain of command. And one night in the middle of the night, they woke us up. They're like, come with us, like a few of us. And then we went to this where they kept all the garbage. Now, this is just an alleged story, everybody. I don't know. You know, maybe I smoked too much tobacco or whatever. But at sea, you're allowed to dump trash. Well, you were allowed back then. I don't know what the rules are now. But you can never dump plastic. So you'd have to be a few miles out, and then you could dump whatever, and then there were certain things. So we were at sea for like 2 months one time without stopping. I think we were in the med, but in the, what's that called? Anyway, I'll think of it in a minute. Oh, the Adriatic Sea, anyway, or somewhere out there. And we had all this plastic. So they were just like, dump the plastic. So they made us throw all this plastic overboard. It was crazy. I've talked about it on stage. I'm like, hey, guys, you're thanking me for my service. I'm like, do you know what I did? This is like back when I'm like, I threw tons of plastic into the ocean. I'm like, you're welcome.
Man, I've heard stories too from older guys telling me stories about throwing just barrels and barrels of hazardous waste over the edge. And you can just imagine how much of that goes on, you know, and, you know, like kind of all these things make me think about what I call the oversoul. I feel like that same self that existed before I came here, in a way, it's guiding this process through life. And where do these questions come from of morality and emotions? Where do emotions come from? Leslie and I were just talking about this, you know, like, how do we talk about God without using the word God? You know, because a lot of people, as soon as you say God, they turn that into a specific religion or a specific ideology or dogma. But we're talking about just generally realizing things from your heart. Like, this just feels terrible. I shouldn't be throwing this crap into the ocean. I shouldn't be part of any kind of bombing. Why would I do these things? Why would I even want to be part of these things? And yet, in so many ways, we all are. You know, our country's been dropping 70 to 150 bombs, whenever I've looked it up, for years, every day. You know, every president that we could look up has been approving of, you know, 75 or more bombs per day being dropped in different places in the world. And people are just like, oh, well, you know, that's just what government does. It's like, well, why would we want that? You know? And so, you know, real quick, I just wanted to...
What else are we going to do?
What else are we going to do, you know?
What are we going to do? Wait, you want me to... Do you want me to take responsibility for myself?
Forget about it. Just forget about it. You should go on Crypt Rick's show. You'd be a great guest for him. I want to connect you guys up. I want to say thanks to the people in the chat. We got Crypt Rick and Chris Youngblood and Colby and Monica from MCAD and Leslie Powers. Some wonderful people. Brendan. And so, Irk, all you people in the chat, thanks so much for joining us today. And Elliot James. I really appreciate, you know, seeing everybody. everybody here. Yeah, this oversoul concept, I'll have to save that for another episode. It's just a whole concept I have of the fact that there is a higher self, right? It's not just the material realm, right? Like, we have a soul, you know? There's something about this. There's the reason we have emotions. There's a reason we have feelings. And you said something that just knocked it out of the park way earlier about relationships being mirrors. And I think that is so true. And I think that's something we could dig into a little bit. I mean, talk about how else do we change but seeing what we're doing. And if you don't have someone else to reflect off to tell you, like, hey, you shouldn't act like that, you're being a dick, then how else are we going to realize? You know, we can create an imaginary construct in our head all the time if we want. I'm great. I'm awesome. Until someone points out your shortcomings, and then we got to kind of humble ourselves and be like, okay, I guess maybe I do have some more work to do. This person doesn't like how I'm doing such and such. So,
yeah,
I'm curious. Go ahead.
I'm just laughing. It's so true. I'm just thinking back of, like, when I was single and I pictured the perfect relationship, you know, and now I look back and I was like, what the fuck was I thinking? Like, did I just want a gay guy, you know, like, or, because you think you want all these things and you want someone to do all the, I'll just say this, like, it has made me such a better person, because you're right. You have this choice almost in every moment. And I mean, we have a great relationship. So I hate when I talk about this, because it always sounds like we're just constantly working through things, but no, that's not how it is. But what I mean is when something, there's some stuff and you're like, you have a choice and you're like, am I really just doing this because it's easier for me, or I prefer it this way, or is it just an unconscious thing? You know, sometimes I could be very much like a robot. I don't know if you're into Myers-Briggs or whatever, but I'm an INTP, which is like very logical kind of thing, whatever. And I don't feel like I'm locked in that prison. I feel like we're here, anything with like that or astrology, I feel like we're here to overcome those aspects and all that stuff, right? Just so people know. But I can, though, be very like Data from Star Trek Next Generation. I'm just like, that's why. And then I was in the Marines, you know, they train. I have this whole other bit about that, you know, how they put me in this place for 3 months. And every time they gave me a command, or anytime I had to yell this one word, it's like, and my voice was usually like this hoarse all the time, because I was always yelling this word. And it has to do with a bit I'm doing about tailgating. You know, people are like, they're tailgating. I'm like, you don't know who you're behind. And you're like flashing. I'm like, they put me in a place for 3 months and they taught me this word. And you know what it was? It was fucking kill. It was kill. Like I said, kill, kill. I'm like, now you're tailgating me and I'm just trying to hold it together. No. But
that's
anyway.
Like Alice's restaurant, so, right? On the Group W bench, they said, kill, kill.
Yeah. Anyway, I think where was I going with that? Train of thought. Oh, yeah, a mirror. So I have that. So I try not to be a psychopath. No, but I'm very, so I can be very logical. And I realize with women, you know, they like to be told things and stuff. And you have to have tenderness and love. And I do. You know, I'm a guy and I'm very logical, but I like to do all that stuff too. So she really helps me come out of my shell with that. And also with just other people too. She's like, oh, you should, you know, when you're talking to somebody, if you express yourself this way, because that's another thing I've been getting into. I really want to try to fully express myself and say exactly what I mean. And people hear exactly what I mean, because I'm sure everyone listening knows, especially when you're trying to talk to somebody or set boundaries or whatever, people do not hear what you have to say, right? They're just like not hearing it. So she's been helping with that. And I also, too, with her, I'll say that, too. Like, did you hear this? This is, you know, I'm just providing information, because I realize I might come across as cold and not meaning something. And in my mind, I'm just like, oh, I'm just providing information, you know? So it's just whole, I feel like I'm just becoming a better person. And I've noticed it in my life, too. Because I'm a DJ, I do a lot of weddings. So just when I'm interacting with clients and stuff, you know, it's there. But it really does, like I said, come back to that mirror and just having to see that and make the choice in realizing, is it me in this situation who's being the jerk, or is it the other person? And just keeping that communication open, because I feel like we always want to just shut down and run away. We're like programmed to just shut down and run away. And you know what happens when you shut down and run away? Look outside your window. This civilization in this society is what happens when everyone's running off of trauma and just shutting down and running away, which is fine because we all do it. Again, I'm not judging people, right? I feel like but to look and turn around and face it, that's the hardest thing. And that's, you know, what Chris is talking about. Exactly. You're going through these things and it's not easy, but it doesn't have to be hard. You know, there's this guy, I'm sure you might have heard of Crow 777. He used to have this guy, Fortune Saint Germain, on all the time. And that guy, man, anyone who's listening to this, look him up if you like what I'm saying. He says some real cool stuff. And one of the things he says is, like, I think we're here to learn lessons, and you can learn them through suffering or through joy. And that's another reason why I like to laugh and stuff, right? Because you can make a realization. You could suffer and suffer and suffer, like I did. You know, I had severe intimacy issues. That's kind of what the book was about. And I just couldn't really stay with one person. That was the thing. I just didn't want a relationship. And I realized it was like something within me. I was suffering. I had like a low self-esteem, and I thought I wasn't good enough, and I was just using these experiences and all this stuff. So I had this whole awakening, but I had to suffer until I got there. And then once I saw what I was doing, I immediately started laughing. It was a pretty funny experience. I fell on the ground laughing and kind of crying at the same time. I'm sure you guys have had these experiences.
Picking up mushrooms.
But
that'll happen.
That too. Oh, yeah. That was, yeah. This was even without mushrooms, but yes, that too. And that's it. I mean, that's another way to kind of have a death and an awakening. But I'm trying to think back to the mirror, the self work. But I really, all this stuff, what I'm boiling it down to, the easiest thing or whatever I see works for me is to just be easy on myself. And not to be hard on myself. I found I'm my hardest critic. Like, you talked about slavery and freedom and all that stuff, and I know you understand this concept, but you can't be a slave. You can't be a slave. Even if somebody has you locked in a cage, you can't be a slave unless you allow yourself inside to be a slave. And really all that is you're just a slave to yourself, and people can come along and they see that's your state of mind, so then they can plug into that. But if you're a master, you know, and you're not a slave, nobody can make you a slave. I have a joke on my show where I'm like, listen, if we get thrown into FEMA camps, I'm just going to be the funniest guy in the FEMA camp. You know, that's all there is to it. And if I'm not, I'm just going to ask the guy who is, you know, I'm going to like take him
out. I'll probably be the deadest guy hanging over the fence as I'm trying to get over the barbed wire.
But it'll be a funny position. Yeah, no, yeah, I'll be distracted and laughing. You'll be exiting. You know? Yeah.
You know, I think Richard Grove has this thing he says about being a prisoner rather than a slave. You know, it's like, you're not a slave if your mentality is, I'm trying to get out of this prison. You know, you recognize that you're in a prison, but you're not submissive to it. You're looking for a way out. You know that you don't really belong in this prison. And I think many folks are, like you're describing, are in a mental prison. You know, I did a presentation called A Trap Within a Trap, and that kind of goes back to something you said before. We can even wake up to a certain amount of realizations, which I see happening a lot in the world right now. A lot of people seeing like, oh my gosh, this and that, bringing up all these details and facts, but still not really waking up to the bigger picture that, you know, harming others is what government does, that voting creates people that don't get a choice. These laws create situations where we're limiting people's freedom. And limiting freedom is evil. And so that is actually, you know, the other trap that's so much harder to see. And it just makes me wonder, like, where does this initiative come from, this will to want to grow and go through this pain? You know, and I know for me, going through that process, actually a great burden was lifted from me when I finally realized I don't care about a lot of this stuff, you know? Now there's a new burden where I feel the need and the drive to help others realize it. But there were so many other things I used to care about that I just don't give a crap about anymore. And that's freeing. But it makes me wonder, like, what is it that keeps so many people from wanting to have that will to figure this stuff out, from wanting to go down this path even in the first place and kind of separate themselves from the dogma and others, but they're so attached that it's like a fear, you know, or there, no one has showed them the light in the first place to make them want that drive. I don't know. And that's kind of the ongoing process. How do we shake people awake, like what we said in the beginning? You know?
Yeah. I mean, these are all great questions. And I
that's
feel
me.
Like.
I can never just ask one question. I always.
No. That's right. I can never just answer one question, Chris. So we're in.
Perfect.
I just have to answer. And yes, so I wanted somebody to say something about music, so remind me. I'm going to go to that because I have a Puff Daddy thing that we should have all known, guys. I'll tease it now. We should have all known about Puff Daddy. But anyway, I'll get back to that. What you said, you know, there's a couple different theories. Some people think that, you know, some of these, like, NPCs, people, like, you know, they're either not real or some kind of computer program or, like, I don't know. I try not to ascribe myself to that. I think what it is, I have this theory where I feel like we're in this realm. Again, I like to call it a realm, or in this world or whatever, having this experience so we could learn lessons. And I think that we're here and we have freedom of choice. We could choose basically to do what we want. Like you said, we could choose to follow that little feeling inside, or we could just choose to do whatever the hell we want in this world, become a billionaire or, you know, Gil Bates or whatever. So I feel like if there is a such thing as reincarnation or a way to do it again, or a way to raise consciousness to where you have another experience with a similar consciousness and you work on it again, or however people put it, if that is true, I feel like people are here to kind of do it until they're done, because you can't tell anybody, like a drug addict, you know, I mean, everyone's addicted to something, right? And you can't tell them. It's like this blind spot that they have that they don't see or they don't want to see. And I feel like truth is the same thing. You're kind of buzz killing, right? When you're waking someone up, and this is how I like to look at it, because again, I feel less like a victim and I don't have to get so mad at people. And I'm like, wait, it's like the mirror thing, right? And like, wait, am I the asshole here? Are they just trying to have a good time and party and shove all, you know, and just do all the escapism they can before they die because they're so afraid of death? Like, how am I supposed to make I'm not afraid of death, right? But and I know that's kind of funny, but if you can look at it, or I say, once I started to look at things that way, I just kind of felt better about it. I realized that the best way for me to wake people up is to set a good example. And it, for me, it wasn't to try to wake them up to this truth. It was to go out there and be a great comedian or a great DJ or just a great uncle or brother or whatever it was. And then when someone comes up to me, he's like, man, you seem like you're happy and what's going on. And then they come to me, right? And then I got them. I don't always have them, but
at least I'm, you like, got a little crack in the door, right?
Yeah. And I feel like before I was always trying to wake them up and I was like, oh, you guys don't know and all this stuff. And I seem like an asshole now that I think about it, right? I was probably like, and it was justified. Trust me, there's people trying to get you to do things that were like, you know, these are fighting words, people. You want me to do what? Yeah. You know, but still, again, if you want to be, and I try to be the bigger man in every situation, you know, and I'm 6'5", so it's easy. No, but what I try to do is
get a bigger stick.
Cause it's this thing I'm into, like, the Bhagavad Gita. I'm into all kinds of, I'm working on becoming a chaplain. I guess I already am kind of a chaplain, right? I could talk to people like about death. If someone's out there and they're having some spiritual issues and want a tarot reading or talk about Jesus or Krishna or Buddha or Muhammad or whatever, I'm your man, or you're whatever it is, you're especially veterans, you know, come talk to me, hit me up. But what was I saying?
I feel you kind of have to build trust with people, right? You know, to get there. Go ahead. No,
you're good. You're right. You totally got to build trust in that department. But I've had this thing my whole life. But what I was going to say, the reason I brought that up, and then I'll end this rant or whatever. But something, I think it was in the Bhagavad Gita or something in Hinduism, talked about, what were we saying? It was a concept like that, though. Something that you said, it reminded me, it'll come back to me. Anywho.
Before we did this chat, I looked up quotes. I was like, because on your show, that one I was watching, you shared a cool quote from Alan Watts. Here it is. Let's see if I can bring it up. The only way to make sense out of change is to plunge into it, move with it, and join the dance. And, you know, that's a great quote. And then let's see, I found a few more. Here's another one I like. Change before you have to. You know, it's like change is the way, and talk about what you're saying. Bhagavad Gita, looking at Eastern philosophy, Alan Watts, these people that explore different shaman techniques, you know, they all include this accepting change and blending with change and the flow, getting in the flow of nature, recognizing, and, you know, like even we were saying before these matrix experiences, we didn't realize something. We came across something, you know, like Mark Passio's work, for instance. We exposed ourselves to it. So someone else was setting an example. And then we had the humility to look at that example, which is the same in any skill or technique we might get good at. And we say, oh my gosh, I haven't been realizing all this stuff. There's a better way to do this. I can become even more awesome. And if we choose that path, then that opens all these doors to transformation. And sometimes it's a painful, uncomfortable process. But having that willingness to do that puts us in this amazing path to be part of the flow of reality. And that's really what God is change and natural law, you know, right?
I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself, my friend. You're exactly right. If you could be okay with change, I mean, I was super into the Dune novels. I'm playing around with the idea of maybe reading it and doing commentary to get people to speed.
Dune, I can't believe you brought up Dune.
The novels?
Oh, man, that guy is amazing.
Have you? Yeah.
I've read them all. I didn't get into his son's books, but why am I blanking out on the author's name right now?
Frank Herbert.
Herbert is just amazing.
Oh, would you want to hear something crazy?
Yeah.
I found out my real dad's name is Frank H. But it's not Frank Herbert, but that's why I was like, of course.
Yeah.
I did want to, the thing I was gonna say about music, and somebody did ask about music in there, and you know, Puff Daddy, all that. I realized something recently. I'm gonna probably make this into a joke, but there's a song I forget now, I should know, because you know, me and I'm sure you grew up with Biggie and you know.
Yeah.
But there was a song, and he's like, he talked, I think he's like, I drink whatever. And he's like, and Puff Daddy sips on the Baileys on the rocks. And he's like, we tote locks to christenings, right? And I was listening to the other, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, he drinks Baileys on the rocks? I'm like, that should have been a clue. Like, people should have been like, oh, I don't know. No offense to anybody who drinks Baileys out there, guys, by the way. I'm not trying to say that. But if you're a rapper, who's trying to be like some hardcore Biggie producer, you know, like, I'm Puff Daddy. And then
I drink,
like,
wine coolers.
I drink the Bartles and James on the fucking, like, what?
Okay, champagne.
Yeah, so we all should have known that, everybody. Thank you for that. And that's why I tell people, it's always been this crazy. You know, people are like, the world's nuts. I'm like, no, it's always been this crazy. I don't even, honestly, the best thing I ever did was just stop paying attention to everything that's going on. And I know it might sound a little crazy, but I've just been using my attention for my own life and stuff. And it has been so much better. You know, like I said, I can help people in my own, you know, purview, and I'm that example for people. But I really feel like, and I wanted to say this on the show too, like, I don't know what it is about reality, but it feels like there's a split going on, and people are really, there's a lot of people like passing away and stuff. And you could say it's always like that, right? But I see it in my own life. Just people are having a rough time, a lot of change, like you were talking about, a lot of decisions, and people are going left or right or this or whatever. And you know, it's fine, it's a great time, everybody. That just means it's a, to me anyway, my estimation, it's a more powerful time to use your powers of manifestation. And I know that could sound like woo-woo, but all that means is just take your attention and put it what you're into, and that's what's going to grow. You know, it's nothing magical about it. I just say it that way to remind myself.
Yeah. One of my other presentations was to how to will power, you know, and I've found that when I put myself through some sort of challenge, even if it's somewhat stressful, you know, like I'm going to write a book or I'm going to make a podcast. When you do something that stretches you, that pushes you, it also gives you on the other end a boost and you feel good about it, you know. And it offers you leverage on life that then you look back and you're like, well, I remember that time when I was broke and tired and I had no money and I was on the side of the road, but I got through that, you know, all my stuff burned, but I got more stuff now, you know? So embracing change and being able to learn from it is one of the most powerful things we can do. Here's another cool quote. Education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world.
Yeah, exactly.
That fit well with our...
Yeah, if you want to talk about weapons and all, you know, it's like... It just doesn't feel glamorous. That's the thing. I like when I first started getting into self-work and working on myself, I'm like, I'm going to be this guru and I'm going to levitate, you know, and all these things, and I'm going to get enlightened. And now I'm like, I'm just trying to accept all these. I realize there's these other Brandons inside me, these personalities I have. And it probably happened when I was a child thing, you know, trauma happens, whatever. It happens to everybody. And we just try to pretend different aspects of ourselves pop out, and some people it gets a little too extreme, right? But I feel like that's kind of what happens. And Alan Watts, you brought his name up earlier, he says it because he was like famous. Well, you know, not a lot of people know this, but he was an alcoholic. Like, he loved the whiskey, but he did it in such a way that like he was using it to be a channel to talk about this stuff. So who am I to judge him, right? So I feel like as I start to see myself as perfect in every little instance, or the little personalities within myself, I can integrate them and see who they are. Like I was talking about how I was a people pleaser earlier. Now, when I realized that, I didn't get mad at myself and say, hey, I just said, oh, I realized what I was doing, why I was doing that. I had some compassion and I just integrated it. And then that Brandon is there if if I need him, I can access him. All right. And so the self-work really, like I said, has turned into just seeing myself as perfect. And again, that probably sounds egotistical, but what I mean is
practically perfect, you know, everybody in every else way. Out there.
Everyone should. Yeah, exactly. I'm the best, guys. Look at you. You got to be like me, you know. What I really mean is, yeah, exactly. That all these, I'm telling you, it was in every, the messages are everywhere. Oh, and I'm glad you said that, because it, in all earlier you said The Matrix, right? The real Keanu Reeves movie with the truth drop is not The Matrix or any of those. It's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, when they say, be excellent to each other and party on. That's the message, man. You know, that's all. Because even Jesus said you have to love God or love yourself. And, I mean, love God above everyone and all that stuff, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what I meant to say. But I feel like if you don't love God and you don't love yourself, and really with that, I'm starting to, that's because in the Eastern, like in the Bhagavad Gita, he'll say to Krishna, says, you have to love me, keep your attention on me, and love God, because Krishna is saying he's God. And I think really what that means is kind of just trust God in every moment. And if something's going wrong, if you are like, oh no, I don't want it to be this way, technically you're not loving God. But if you can accept it and say, all right, what am I going to learn? How can I be better because of this? This is how it's supposed to happen. So I'm just going to deal with it and get by it. By doing that, you're really loving God, because you're kind of trusting the plan in that way. And that's how you're having faith. And when you're doing that, you're not stuck in fear. And you're able to act despite the fear, because we're all going to feel the fear. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to feel it, but then you act that way. But anyway, so it really, like I said, seeing myself kind of as perfect and realizing that as I accept my own behavior and say, like if I'm drinking too much or whatever, and I don't really ever had a problem with drinking my whole life, but I'll just say I've had issues with other things. Don't worry, guys, but drinking's never been but if it was, right, and I drank too much, if I kept judging myself, I'd wake up and be like, why did I drink, and get mad. It would just perpetuate that cycle. So instead, I'm like, oh, cool, I drank, and what can I do? And it was all right, and maybe I'll try not to do it tomorrow, or maybe I will, you know. And as you're seeing yourself that way and being easy on yourself, there, you really are not a slave anymore. You're really becoming a free person, because you're not a slave to that little voice in the back of your head that's always telling you, oh, you're so terrible, you're a piece of shit, you shouldn't do it, you can't do a podcast. Brandon, what are you doing? These people hate you.
You only got like, 2 views.
This voice. Yeah. Oh, I know those days. I used to live stream to nobody. I didn't care. Like,
it whatever. Takes some bravery, you right? know, and I think too, like some, for me, I think back to, I've always kind of been like the type of guy that wanted to get some attention when I was a kid. And school, they were just beating me up for it, right? I was getting kicked out of classes all the time, and I wasn't a bad kid. I just, I had a way of saying something that got everybody laughing, that made everybody look in my direction. So certain teachers would just kick me out when the kids would start acting wild, just because they knew that, you know, I was probably part of it. And a lot of times I was like, I didn't even say anything yet, you know, and I'm all right, screw it. I just started going home, you know. But I think a lot of this trauma that we get that puts us in this place of self, you know, deprecation or isolation is we're not living in communities that, you know, rely on one another and trust the elders to give us the stories, and knowing that, you know, the lady across the street is kind of keeping an eye on your kids type of thing, because we live in this society that's so fragmented, and right away they're hitting you. This is my trap within a trap, you know, with school, with religion, with government, with sugar, you know, like all these things are separating us and splitting us up and keeping us from that whole. And so then we have to spend our lives as we get older realizing that we've been smacked down by all these traps. And how do we find that perfection that you're talking about, that community within ourselves where we trust and love those parts of ourselves? Because those parts of ourselves represent our community. They represent our relationships with the people that we've been around in our whole life. And if so many of those relationships have been top-down, authoritarian, don't daydream, you know? But really, all life is we're telling ourselves a story all the time of what just happened. It's constant storytelling. And if that storytelling isn't like introspective and questioned, and relationships help do that, then we're telling ourselves a wild story, a wild fucking story that's not the real story, not even close. And we start believing it because we keep telling it over and over. So we got to find a way to start rewriting that story. And I think that's the importance of whether it's journaling, meditation, writing a book, doing a podcast that kind of forces you to put yourself in front of people and say it out loud, and then you have to hear it and be like, oh wow, I sound kind of you know, is that really the story, you know, until we allow ourselves to do that.
Yeah.
And that can be humbling, right? And so it's tricky, because if you do that too soon and you make yourself feel bad, then, you know, that puts you in that negative spiral. So man, how do you keep upbeat, I guess, is you're so good at that.
Well, I mean, I it's hard for me to tell other people, because again, I'm 6'5", I look and sound like this, but I haven't always looked and said, like, I used to be like a nerd and all this stuff and pick on, but I felt my whole life like I've always not been alone. It's hard to explain. I just feel like I've always had this kind of presence, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it's because of past lives or wherever I'm at. I don't, you know, but what I could tell people is, even though when I have gotten down, because, you know, I haven't been in despair in my life, and just things, you know, it's not like I've been just killing it all my life, like, yay. I really just try to look for what I'm grateful for. I've always tried to kind of did that. I would tell people, like, I've had friends that were like depressed or whatever. I'm like, hey, at least, and I'm not talking about like clinical depression, or I'll just say I've had friends that were sad, right? I'm not going to get into that other stuff. I've had friends that, and I'm like, why are you so sad? I'm like, at least you got two legs, right? You got two arms. Like, you could talk, you could see, you know, look at all these things. And if you could start there, and it's different for everybody. And I realize this, especially if you're a feeler and you have feelings, because I could get lost in thought, right? And I could just get lost in this whole crazy, build this mental thing about, you know, trying to change the world or whatever the heck it is. And I'm like, whoa. And I understand that some people like that can get lost in feelings, and it's like they're on a ship and they're just going and they can't turn it around. And
spiraling into a black hole, you know.
Right. Exactly. And that's the key word, spiral. If you could kind of notice that it is a pattern, and it really is all about patterns, and it just keeps coming around. And I think meditation is something that helped me, you know, plant medicines or something. But what it is, there's this muscle that you can exercise, and meditation helps. And it helps you realize when you're out of the present moment and you're like lost in thought or feeling or whatever, and you could just realize it and then bring it back and let it go. And that feeling or thought, it may keep persisting and coming, but you just kind of let it go and you say, all right, everything's here. You look around like, look, I'm fine here. You know, I got electricity, I got food, whatever it is. And sometimes it's about the small ones too. You know, it's about what can I do and where can I go and all that stuff. But really, it's about, I think, what you focus on. And that's the thing too. If you're sad or depressed, you might think there's something wrong with you, but maybe you're supposed to be sad or depressed. There's nothing wrong. That's why I say everybody, not just me, everyone, if you could see yourself as perfect, because whatever behavior you're displaying it because of whatever happened in the past. And you might have some blind spots as to that. And you think that you're a victim. And I'm not trying to say you're not. Like, you could be a victim. Somebody could punch you or, you know, whatever. They could assault you.
We all are in some ways.
But a lot of times, right, yeah, but a lot of times it's a mental thing. And you, now that you're older, it's just your inner child, you know, is locked into it. So that's really what it's about. Just realize that you are a victim. There's certain things that you have that other people don't or whatever. However, you kind of have to do it. And then the judging thing. If you could stop judging yourself maybe, or even in just a little bit, and just start letting it go. And I tell people, when you wake up to this stuff, the self-work and all that, go far the other way. Be an asshole or whatever. Or, you know, go and get hammered or whatever. Or whatever it is, do love yourself too much. Buy something, you know, err too far in the other direction for once, because you've been beating yourself up your whole life, right? To be somebody you've been feeling all this guilt. Take a guilt vacation. It's a new concept I've been talking about. Guilt vacation. You've probably been feeling guilt your whole life that you haven't, you know, later you realize you're like, I shouldn't have felt guilty for that. Either someone is trying to manipulate me or I saw it wrong, and you're probably doing it right now. So just let go of that guilt. And then later, maybe you can come back from the vacation. But I'm like, I felt enough in my life. I'm done feeling guilt. And it doesn't mean I'm going to be an asshole and all this stuff. It just means that I'm not going to feel guilty. I'm just going to do my best. And however it turns out, that's how it turns out. Because that's what the Tao says. Don't be attached to your work. Do your best and let it go.
Yeah, you know? And it's hard not to get attached. You know, I find myself, like you're saying, counterbalancing thoughts quite a bit. I used to have a pretty negative script, and way I conquered it was just every time that negative script would pop up, I'd counter each thought. If my thought says, wow, you really messed up. In fact, it happened to me yesterday. I was doing some work for this guy who I really look up to. He's a very master tradesman, and I was cutting some studs to put in the wall, and I cut four of them wrong. And it was the last four studs he had for that section. And I was like, oh man, in my head, I started really kicking myself. How could you do that, dumbass? You know, like, and instead I turned it around pretty quick and I said, hey, look, I'm going to run to the store and I'm going to get you some studs, you know, well, you figure out the next thing. And I shot to the store, and on the way, I'm telling myself, dude, you've been kicking butt, man. Everybody makes mistakes, and that's a normal thing. It's part of the process of building. It just happened to be a bummer that those were the last four sticks we had, you know? But a lot of times too, mistakes and being someone that has made a mistake and being humble about it allows you to empathize with other people, and you actually become someone who can be in service to someone else who's going through a hard time because you've experienced a similar thing. And so if you start taking that point of view when you're going through it, you know, I think of the guy who was in the concentration camps, Viktor Frankl, you know, about as terrible as it can be, people dying all around you, your whole family. And he takes the mentality, like, how can I learn from this and create a way of therapy that I can, when I get out of here, I can help people. And he wrote a book, and, you know, with all the horrid things he had to do and go through, he came out of it with a way to use that experience to help other folks and help himself. And so that's what you're describing. And it's the transmutation process. That's what the alchemy, I think, the alchemical process is describing. You know, we go through this terrible, difficult chemical reaction of emotions and problems, yeah. And then it hits us and we realize it soaks in, and then we kind of finally go, well, how can I turn this into gold, you know? How can I turn this into something? And think about anything you might learn, whether it's violin or piano or whatever. You had to go through those days of bing, hitting the wrong note before you go, oh, that's not the right one, you know, that's not the one that really sounds good. And that's how you get. So our whole society teaches us that mistakes are bad and you're not supposed to screw up. But learning is a series of screwing up and making mistakes. So, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I think we're here to make mistakes. We're here to fuck up and then be okay with it. You know, that's the truth. The meaning of the free will, the only free will that I could point to that we always have is how we feel about the situation we're in. Somebody could lock you, like I said, in a cage. I say, you know what? They could put me in a cage. It's going to crumble around me. Guys, you don't understand. Like, when I was in the Marines, you see, I'm just a funny guy. Like, I ended up running everything and not, like, subtly. I mean, not, like, directly, but, like, in a subtle way. People would just be like, oh. So if I ended up in a jail, I would probably be running it. Or I'd be, like, the funny guy to, the gangster who was running it. You know, like, I mean, just, that's just how it works. You know, like, anyway, but it really is, I feel like, in that. The free will, it's just you choose how you're going to feel about it, and as you do, man, they can't hold you down. It's like in every movie. Like, think about Rudy, right? They just feel so bad. Like, this guy just keeps trying so hard, and I feel like that's what the universe is. We're just like Rudy, and we're on expert level. You used to play Halo, probably. People listen to us. We're on legendary, expert legendary mood. It's going to be awesome, you know. Like, it's, and that's what's going on. We got, you know. So you could bitch about it, or at least we're not around in the Civil War times and we're getting diarrhea all the time. You know what I mean? Like, at least there's good food to eat. There's so many things to look at in a way. And it's a time where you could get, it's easier to get like organic stuff, or people are more, a little more conscious about health in a way. And yeah, the other end's a disaster and they're probably growing chickens in a lab or whatever, but you know, other people are open to other things too, and it's easier to get raw milk some places, you know. So there's give and take, and it really, I think, it's kind of like they see it like you're watering a plant with your attention. You know, are you watering the stuff you're happy about? And that's going to happen, because if I tell people the universe is like a giant ball busting machine, you know, it's just going to keep trying to bust your balls. And if you just show it that you're not going to get your balls busted, then it needs your attention, and it's going to have to show you like Lamborghinis or whatever, you know, it's going to have to show you like something to get your attention. That's not what I want, but you know, whatever it is. But if you just keep focusing on the negative, but I might be wrong not to make claims. And that's another reason why I feel like when I converse with people, when I'm not making claims and I'm just asking questions, you know, people, they just respond to it better. Cause who am I? I know nothing. You know, I do know that Chris is a great man, though. So everybody, guys, support this guy. Make sure you like and subscribe to all his stuff. And by the way, you can join my great pyramid scheme right here. The pyramid, it's just all you got to do is like every video you watch of mine, and you're part of my great pyramid scheme. And it's just about being cool. You don't even have to do anything else.
It's that easy. It's Colby, that easy. My man said, fail fast and fail forward.
Yeah.
And here's one more quote. I'll share this last one before we wrap up. Embrace change, and you embrace the power to rewrite your story and create a legacy that inspires. And I really like the term legacy. I like to think about that. You know, what legacy are you leaving? When you're looking back at your life from your deathbed, are you going to be like, man, I really put it out there? Or are you going to be like, damn, why didn't I do more shit? You know? And so that's something I like to put out to people, like, fuck, now's your time. Seize the day. You know,
you can't take it with you, Chris, right? All these treasures here in this world, you can't take them with you. What can you take with you though? The good feelings. If you raise your consciousness, the positive way you see things, I feel like you could take that energy. Or does it affect where you go? I don't know how this realm works, but I'll tell you, if you die and you're pissed off and have a lot of regrets and you don't, and you're like, no, I don't want to die, you probably would rather go to a place where when you die, if you're like, yeah, man, what's next? This is cool. Not like you want to die, I'm saying anybody, but you know, you're more like, okay, you know.
Bring on the next one. Let's go.
Yeah.
Level 3. Let's go.
What sounds better?
What comes after exactly. Legendary?
All right. I guess we're going to, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I think you're super wise, and you're very humble, you know, and but you have a lot to share, and I think you do recognize a lot about this reality that 99.9% of people still have to recognize from my point of view. And so why don't you, whatever awesome comments or compliments or advice you might want to leave for our listeners, go ahead and do that. And then I think at the very end here, I might finish reading that little chapter I was reading about change.
Yeah, I will say that watch my show, everybody. Listen, Brandon Bonanza on YouTube, okay? Just watch, that's my advice. No, I would say Really, I can't. It's hard to give it like the elves say. We don't like to give advice, but we can give you a little bit of tidbits. And it really just to be easy on yourself, because that's the mechanism of control, everybody. That's how they get everybody to put a mask on or whatever they want them to do. They can't forcibly have everyone. They don't have enough, whatever. It's about, and who, even if there is a they, right? What I think the they is just us, right? But anyways, and this goes along with that, really. That's what it is. If you're just easier on yourself and you learn to, in a way, if it's meditation, whatever it is, contemplation, read art, you know, whatever it is, you learn to kind of just, instead of reacting to things, you just have a pause in between there, right? And then you have a space to give the reaction that you want, in a way. And I say just don't take it personally what people are doing. Like Chris said, everyone's just having a dialogue with themselves. I'm talking to myself right now, and I'm trying to have this whole thing and pretend I'm talking to you. It's like ego, whatever, right? And again, nothing is wrong with the ego. It's just about a balance. But yeah, just be easy on yourself. I'm just rambling at this point, but that's what I could say. Be easy on yourself. We've been hard enough on ourselves. Take a break, you know, take a guilt vacation, do a victory lap. You know, you're awesome. Give yourself a pat on the back. Tell somebody to fuck off. No, it's all about love and light, I think, really. But if you have to, hey, you never know. But it is, right? Just take your own side for once, you know, and see what happens. That's all. And just keep it going from there. That's what I would say. Just because everybody wants you to fucking just, you got to do this and you got to do that. And it's like, dude, I ain't got to do nothing. You know, I learned that one day. I'm like, I did it all. You know, I'm just going to chill out and take it easy. And since then, you could just rely on kind of your own intuition, really, you know. But anyway, and keep watching both our shows. That's what I would say. Be easy on yourself and watch Chris's show and my show. But anyway, yeah.
Hell yeah. Great advice. I love your...
Thank you.
You know, I love your way of making things real and relating and being human. And I'm sure the audience does too. Everybody was... A lot going on in the chat. I always appreciate that. Thanks, folks, who have joined us. Yeah.
Shout out to the chat. I was reading it. It's just hard for me to. I want to pay attention to Chris too, and I can only do one thing at a time. But thanks. I saw most of those, and I really appreciate you guys. Listen, I love all my viewers and people. Anyone who wants to, I call them my slaves. But no.
Anybody, Brandon.
No, I anyone who takes the time to watch stuff like this, it's another thing. Again. Give yourself a pat on the back. You're not watching TV. You're not engaging like in an escape. Hey, you could use this as an escapism if you want. But what you're doing is you're looking into for answers, and you're trying to make yourself a better person or the world better, whatever you're doing. So kudos to you too. And you know, if you or if somebody who wants to do this, you could do this too. It's so easy. It's an easy enough time to do it. Stop procrastinating. Just do it. Put it out. Who cares if you suck? You're going to suck. I sucked at first. Everyone sucks. I've been doing this since 2014. That's why I'm
expert level, I'm good legendary.
That's why I'm doing it so much, you know. And I think we might have broke up there a little bit, but yeah, just keep doing it, and you get better at whatever it is you do. Like you said, with violin, you know, same thing with podcasting or whatever. Just keep doing it. Who cares?
Yep.
If just your mom's watching, like whatever.
Keep trying. Keep going. All right, I'm gonna read three little paragraphs here. This is in a chapter in my book called Becoming Change. If you've ever body surfed, skied a black diamond, flown through turbulence, you know the only way forward is through. You don't resist the element, you learn to merge with it. You make chaos your ally. You become the wave. This is the nudge, the reminder, the warning, and the blessing. Become change, not just someone who endures it, but someone who understands it, who wields it. Change is the essence of life and everything that is animated with creative energy. Who are you to resist the fundamental drive of the universe? At the root of who you are is this force that cannot sit still. It morphs, it evolves, and the only way to truly live is to lean into that force intentionally, consciously, and with presence. So I'll leave you guys with that. Get the book, the book that changed my life. Get shadow worked, and carpe diem, folks. Thanks so much, Brandon. Great show. I'll look forward to having you another time. Or, you know, when you get into Dune, you better call me because I want to get in on that one.
Oh, dude. Anytime you want to talk about Dune, you just call me. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that causes total obliteration. Yeah, I could. Dude.
Leo don't the worm. Yeah, don't get me started.
Just took really quick, everybody. So listen, jump on the Brandon train, guys. I took a break from comedy, but I'm getting back. And let me tell you, I am going to the moon and back. We're going. So jump on now. Subscribe. I'm telling you, I'm telling you guys, that's all I got to say. I don't want to spoil anything else. I know I look like I died for everyone's sins, but we're going to be digging in deep. And I'm going to slip these things in.
We all need some laughs.
Yeah, I'm just going to use a character, and I want to slip a lot of this stuff in, but I want to make everybody laugh, though, even, you know, normies, everybody, but because you got to make them think. There's no lines, you know? Anyway, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. This was great. I had so much fun. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, everyone in the chat.
Right on. Much love. I think I'll turn this off and put on my little commercial, and we'll see you guys next week. And Evil Podcast, Evil is the Destruction of Freedom. We'll be right back.